back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the fun season here of football and Pittsburgh's and Cleveland's and the holidays and all that. We're going to be letting ourselves play each and every week on the Maryland Lottery Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Costas on the 15th, celebrating my 30th anniversary. We're going to be at the Beaumont on the 9th over in Catonsville, celebrating a 30th anniversary. And by the way, we're going to be this Friday just celebrating the Pappas Crab Cake at Pappas with a bunch of friends, including former Oriole Mike Bordick, my pal Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global, Jim Reese from Offutt Kerman, as well as a new addition, John Kelly from the Kelly family, to talk about the biking event that is going to be going on through the streets of our fair city. I've gotten to know this guy through the interweb. He is a lawyer and a really interesting resource on things that involve sports and law. He got himself all rolled up in this St. Louis situation. You can find Howard Balzer, my lifer friend, out at Baltimore Positive in our repository, talking about the specifics of the St. Louis case, but the specifics of the legal side of that. I'm calling Dan Wallach in. You can follow him out on Twitter. I don't know what to say about you. I've gotten to know you through the internet and following you on Twitter and meeting you at Super Bowls and whatnot. But you sort of like roll your sleeves up on sports law when these things get a little caustic and trying to explain to people like me what exactly happened in St. Louis and L.A. and Stan Kroenke and what exactly is happening with casinos and gambling in Florida and other places. But you are a passion guy. You dive into these legal issues as a lawyer yourself. But this is a little bit of a passion play on the sports side for you, right?
Yeah, and here's why. I mean, thank you for that incredible buildup. And I love your life. You do all this celebrating at different, you know, restaurants, and you got a great life. I would love to switch with you for 1 week just to experience the roller coaster. But here's my passion play. Okay, I don't like to sort of just float on the periphery of lots of different cases and issues. I pick a couple that strike me as, wow, there's something going on here. And I burrow beneath the surface. And I devote a significant amount of legal research and analysis, like with the St. Louis case.
What tipped you off on that? Because, I mean, look, I'm from Baltimore. So, like, and Howard and I are friends, and I know Howard. And I know they forced him out to the desert, and I had him on and all that. But I'm a Baltimore guy. I had my team taken when I was 16. And mm-hmm. everything I ever knew about the words eminent domain and, you know, all of that went in. And I was a journalist by trade when I was 15 years old. The pathway to stealing the Browns and getting them back here and what that's meant to my life and Art Modell, that when franchises move and this stuff happens, it's been a lifetime of fascination for me. You know, I was in St. Louis 8 weeks mm-hmm. ago for a Rolling Stones concert, and I told Howard this. I was there when the Cardinals were doing well, and it was like the Rams never existed. All the stuff's off the walls. It's like they never won Super Bowls or went to them. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, they don't really want a team back here. Like, I think they're pissed off enough like we would be, where we wouldn't want a team. So you want some sort of revenge, and I don't know where the revenge is, but there's money. I'm just shocked that this thing settled, Dan. I mean, more than anything, you've been knee-deep into this. I'm just shocked that they blew a whistle last week and said, okay, we're going to let the NFL off the hook.
Well, here's why it's so it's an outrage. And I'm not a resident of St. Louis. I've never even been to St. Louis. And you would have been all over the airwaves in St. Louis if you were working in that city, decrying the lack of fight in city leadership, county leadership. Baltimore got a team back. Cleveland got a team back. St. Louis had a chance to get a team back. They didn't sue for the repatriation of the team. They sued for money damages. But my point all along was that all of their causes of action, you know, tortious interference, breach of contract, all of it built around the NFL's relocation policy could have given rise to a multi-billion dollar verdict. And then you tack on punitive damages. And under, you know, well-settled case law, the juries can award, you know, 5 to 10 times of actual damages as punitive damages. And it is not unrealistic that you could approach a number of between $5 billion and $10 billion. And that's the lever that you pull to get a team back. And for the life of me, I could never imagine why St. Louis gave up all this leverage. All of their claims were intact. All of their damage theories were intact. They had John Mara, Clark Hunt, Jerry Jones, and Robert Kraft scheduled for a hearing on December 3rd to find them in contempt. They had the NFL and the commissioners and the executives under oath in a public trial during a time when the league is getting ready for the Super Bowl. You settle either on the courthouse steps before the first witness is sworn in, or, as I would urge, get your verdict, carry a multi-billion dollar verdict in your pocket, with backed by a jury verdict, with strong grounds to survive an appeal, and then you're talking in terms of a negotiation. Who negotiates a cash settlement 50 days out when you have all these factors decidedly in your favor?
Well, it's probably somebody in the legal team that says, we'll take our $250 million now and go home. I mean, this feels like greedy local lawyers just saying, we'd rather take our money now than worry about getting it later. And it's a life-altering money for the lawyers. Like, for Peter Angelos in on this case, and there were two of them in St. Louis, it is – they can stay poor until this settles in 2026, and maybe there's a team after all the appeals and all that that's going on, but they took their money. And it's filthy to me. I mean, it's filthy enough that they got screwed out of their team. Now, like, I wonder what even happens to this $500 million the city allegedly is going to get, right?
You know, Nestor, it gets whacked down by attorney's fees. So 790 becomes 500 million after attorney's fees. And then you divide it between, you know, three different governmental entities, and it's 150, 160 million per entity. Nobody on the street level will feel an appreciative difference in their lives based upon how the city spends this money. Whereas a football team represents the heart, the soul, and the consciousness of a city. And I have to tell you, my experience with St. Louis sports fans and football fans, I would put them on par with the most passionate sports fans that I've met in this around football, for sure. And you know, some might say, well, they're just angry, right? They're pissed off at the NFL, and that's why they're into it. No, I talked to a lot of people on the ground, people over Twitter, people like Howard, Derek King. This is a football city. They had 20 years of attendance where they exceeded 80% seating capacity in 19 out of those 20 years. And the only year they dipped below 80% was following a one-win season. This is a story about how lawyers wanted to cash out. And given the size of these two law firms, it works out. Mike Florio did the math. If you allocate the attorney's fees among every equity partner in both law firms that represented the three St. Louis plaintiffs, that breaks down to over $10 million per equity partner. That is life-altering money. I mean, most of these lawyers are well off, but unless you're the founding partner of the law firm, you're not that well off. This is life-altering, you know, bucks for everybody, but ultimately accountability lays at the feet of the city leaders. And the mayor of St. Louis, you know, it's not lost on me that her prior job was spent as the city treasurer for 8 years. She's an accountant. She's a financial person. The money matters. She never made this about a fight for the team. She made this simply as a line item in a budget. If she had wanted to fight for the team, there was a position that the city could have been in 50 days from now, 80 days from now. Who settles following the first day of a mediation 50 days out from a trial when you're piling up points and it's a blowout and you're going before a local jury, a local judge during the Super Bowl at a time when the NFL, you know very well, is fearful of ever having their dirty laundry aired in public, let alone open court.
This is a huge, huge win for the NFL, right? Like, just the fact that they didn't get their pants pulled down in court when it was coming. I mean, I have grown strong contempt for those people. Like, you know, having been in the room with them, I've been to 15 owners meetings, watching how they treat each other, watching how they treat people, watching how they treated Colin Kaepernick. Just in general, they're scumbags, and dumping on each other and dumping on Mark Davis and, you know, expelling John Gruden, and Gruden's going to get his 10 cents as well. That I really felt like, and from the Baltimore perspective of, I wonder how this is going to work out. But Dan, I spent time in St. Louis 2 months ago. I wondered if they really wanted a team. Like, if the municipality really wanted to come back and fork over PSLs and do all of that again. Because I know there were people in Baltimore that didn't want that back in the 90s. I always did. I was a young guy. I mean, it's been the greatest gift of my life to have this football team come back to Baltimore. I told Art that. I told David that. I'll tell anybody that. It's defined my life when you know, that team came here in 1995. So I know the power, and I know the power of parades. And I so does St. Louis, because they had one early on. They've had a couple on the baseball side as well, and one on the hockey side now. I almost forgot about that one because they never won, but they finally won. So I would say for them, I just never got the vibe that they want a third team back from a we're going to fork over what we need to do financially, locally to make. I wonder if, in my town whether we're going to keep the baseball team, whether there's ever going to be real local money where companies are going to say, here's 500 grand Orioles, you know, here's 80 grand for season ticket books, or that day's over here. I kind of felt like in St. Louis at the end for the Rams and with the way the league screwed them, I didn't know that they really wanted a team, but I didn't think they, to your point, they're going to walk away and take 10 cents on the dollar. I thought that was it shocked me, but understanding the greed of the lawyers, it doesn't shock me.
Yeah. Well, it's not 10 cents on the dollar. It's almost $1 billion, but that amount was never going to go down between now and the time when the witnesses get sworn in. That number was going to go up and likely dramatically up, following what everyone expected to be a friendly plaintiff's verdict. And you're right in part about the lack of will to get a new team within the city. Certainly the political leadership didn't have it at all. They folded. They didn't want the fight. They took the money, they cashed out. But even within the fan base, there seemed to be overwhelming sentiment against the settlement. Yet there was division on whether it should have been more money, a team, or just to get their pound of flesh in court.
See, the team sounds great until you say, all right, we got a team. They're the St. Louis Redbirds, whatever you want to call it. We're putting our tickets on sale, and here's our coach, and here's our owner, and here are the tickets. It's $245 a game. It's $500, you know, here you want a season ticket book? It's $7,000. Who's got a credit card? And after what happened there recently, and I think, look, it took 15 years for people here to come to grips with, screw the NFL. Oh, we love the NFL. Let's give Vinny our money. Let's go see the purple team, right? I don't think that happens. I think there's a lot of bad blood in St. Louis in that way, that sending a check to anything with the shield on it, no matter who the local owner was, and they already had one local owner. That's how the thing got screwed up to begin with Kroenke. But I did have a feeling that the team might have been a bad idea, but giving up the fight was also a bad idea, unless you're trying to get reelected next year, I guess.
Well, getting a team isn't necessarily begrudgingly doing business with the NFL. It represents victory. It represents basically, you know, carrying the, you know, head of Roger Goodell on a spike, Game of Thrones style, because if you get a $2, $3 billion verdict, the settlement could potentially include a waiver of the relocation fee or waiver of the franchise fee, and basically almost bestowing a team on the city as part of the settlement, along with some other, maybe non-cash and cash features. That represents a perpetual enduring victory that should, you know, really, that should be the prevailing sentiment. Not that, oh, we've got to, you know, do business with the NFL. It represents the vanquishing of the enemy. And believe me, fans would have warmed to a team. I mean, I was getting some mixed signals as well. They don't want the Chargers, for example. It has to be a brand new, freshly minted expansion team. They did a poll in St. Louis where they had the choices: money, expansion team, or the Chargers. And money won the poll, but I pointed out online that was a BS poll. I think the choices should be money or team, but there are a lot of people in St. Louis who did not want to get somebody else's hand-me-down, albeit with Justin Herbert as the franchise quarterback. So what I sensed was a lack of consensus as to what the ultimate outcome should be. But in the end, a team is the best economic option for a city because it's a lifetime of economic impact created in the surrounding neighborhoods, stores.
Or 19
hotels.
Years until Stan Kroenke decides to take your team.
No, well, then you don't do a lease. You don't do a lease. You have a provision, a covenant not to relocate. You bring in local ownership. There's a way to sort of safeguard and guardrail any potential, you know, relocations. I've never seen a NFL team sale agreement include a covenant not to relocate, but there's no reason not to do that. In the end, $100 or $500 million will be frittered away within 1 or 2 years. Nobody's life I shouldn't say that. You could do a lot of good things with $500 million, but the enduring quality of an NFL team on an economic level, how that drives commercial activity, building, development, and, you know, entertainment, all the surrounding activity that a stadium and a team is responsible for, that will go a lot further than $500 million cash up front. There's no question about it. So even if you're anti new expansion team, the team and the vitality of having a team in the downtown area would bring so much economically to the region that would pale, that would make the $500 million pale by comparison. So whether you're into the team or you just want the economic aspects of it, a team is still the better way to go. And there's a reason why franchise values always go up, 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 and up. They never go down. Now we're into the realm where franchise valuations are at $3, $4 billion. Those teams and those precious commodities mean so much to a city economically as well as emotionally.
Dan Wallach is our guest. You can follow him out on Twitter. He writes about great things in the legal space and the sports space. I'll let it go. This is the last thing I'm going to say. Kroenke kind of got away with this, right? Like Mr. Big yep. just kind of pulled off, you know, put his lawyers out in front of it. In the end, the other side blinked. And it's just money to him, and it's money that he's mined that I'm going to be seeing 8 weeks from now when I land out there in L.A. with a mask on, right, out in Inglewood.
Well, his team's value went up from $1.5 billion to $4.8 billion. So he experienced an upward tick of over $3 billion. He can afford to pay $790 billion, but there may be a battle between Kroenke and the other owners over how much the other owners have to kick in, because the league prepared an indemnification agreement that would bind Stan Kroenke to reimburse the other owners in the league for litigation expenses.
Costs, and apparently and one that Jim Irsay wanted to ask him about personally in front of the other partners, and that was denied. By the way, that Wickersham reporting was crazy, right? The day after that, I had Seth on that week, and I'm like, I have rarely read minutes of inside. I've stood at the outside of those meetings many, many times, hearing the minutes from inside where everybody's fighting with everybody over money.
They were turning on each other. This was a wounded animal, and St. Louis let that wounded animal off the hook. Maybe not pennies on the dollar, but a fraction of what St. Louis should have recovered. This should have been that number, if it was a cash settlement, should have been no less than 1 point something billion as a starting point. I mean, 790 is not that far away, but you had the NFL backed into a corner with every variable in the lawsuit turned against it with the perspective. And not only that, but Oakland, the city of Oakland, looms in the background. There's a similar lawsuit, a federal antitrust case, as well as a similar breach of contract case that the city of Oakland brought against the NFL over the same exact type of team relocation from Oakland to Las Vegas. Those lawsuits were dismissed, but they're on appeal. And I'm very confident that the federal cause of action, the antitrust case with treble damages, will be reversed and reinstated for trial within the next couple of months. So we'll find out how much will, stamina, and fight the city of Oakland has, because that's the next battle that the NFL will have to fight on this front. But I couldn't have imagined a better set of circumstances to defeat the NFL than what was in play in St. Louis. That was the best set of circumstances that any city could ever have in terms of having the NFL on the ropes. I'm not convinced that Oakland will reach the same point in its fight against the NFL. So this was the moment in history, and the city leaders let it slip through their grasp.
Yeah, Oakland's got its hands full with the baseball situation. Last thing for you, and I talk a lot about the lottery around here and gaming, and I have John Martin on all the time, director of Maryland Lottery and Gaming, and we were talking about the SWARC and, you know, when are we going to get casinos open, and when are we going to be able to go Vegas-style to gamble right down the street here at Horseshoe or down at the airport. You've been covering a similar thing all across the country, because this is all sort of newfangled outside of what Vegas set for 50 years now. Jersey, everybody's going across the state line. And the mobile part of taking your phone across the river and putting $50 on or against the Ravens this weekend in Pittsburgh. You've covered this at length, and in Florida, there's even more going on, but this is a state-by-state basis, and John's here every week trying to say, well, we're trying to get this done and trying to get it to the letter of the law, but every state is becoming Las Vegas right now when it comes to sports wagering, and it's not hard to see that the league's in on this too.
Yeah, well, what a lot of people may not understand is, yeah, there are a lot of states that have legalized sports betting, but it takes time to go from the law passing to actually launching the operations. I mean, to use an extreme example, it was a year and a half before Tennessee went from the law being passed, authorizing sports betting, to the first online bet being processed. What complicates things in Maryland...
We're a year and a month right now, just so you know. It was, you know, early November. It's been a year and 13 months, and we still can't place a bet here yet. So people here are antsy, but you're saying that's not out of line.
Well, you can bet at eight casinos. Right now, there's some limited retail betting, but the difficulty in Maryland stems from the fact that there are 60 online licenses that are going to be granted, and there's a provision in place for minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses getting a priority, and there's some internal debate within the Maryland, I guess it's the Racing Commission, as to whether to sort of stagger the launch dates or to be fair to everybody and have sort of an equal launch date, because you don't want companies getting an unfair advantage over other operators. So not all of these businesses have gotten their applications finalized yet. So it's really up to the regulatory body to decide when online sports betting starts. And, you know, to just jump the gun now, you're going to give the upper hand to the few that have already secured their licenses. So until they work that out as to the best way to approach it, that's fair to everybody, you could be waiting maybe six more months in order to place an online bet. But that time will eventually come. I mean, 4 years ago, we were 3 years, 3.5 years ago, only one state was allowed to have legal sports betting, and that was Nevada. And this Supreme Court decision opened the floodgates, and it was not really, you know, expected that 32 states in a 3-year period would launch or pass laws that quickly. So we're considering.
Well, they smell revenue, right? I mean, they smell revenue that previously was going to Atlantic City or Vegas or to the riverboats or whatever that was. But on the sports space, you know, it's significant. It's so significant that literally, you know, you couldn't watch a baseball game this year without the come on of betting. I've been watching baseball 50 years. I've never thought about betting on it. I don't know what the game plan is there to turn me into a bettor, but they're trying like hell. There's no doubt about that. The leagues are.
Well, baseball is tailor-made for in-play betting because of all the, you know, sort of the delays between pitches, and it's a long game. There's a lot of downtime, and you could fill that gap with a panoply of all these live in-play betting opportunities. So this is definitely a lucrative opportunity for the teams and the leagues to sell and license their real-time in-play data, because they have the best technology for that, because they control it. But for the state governments, it's also a lucrative play, because you have not only the tax revenue associated with sports betting, but if you don't do it, your residents and citizenry is going to go across state lines and
go to West Virginia, go to Delaware, right? Cross the border.
Or bet illegally. So it's a matter of, you're not going to prevent the activity by putting your head in the ground, You have to take advantage. Otherwise you lose your business to your neighboring state. And that's the pressure that's being brought upon so many states that are on the outside looking in. They're like holes in the donut that are surrounded by states that have legal sports betting. So that's what puts the pressure to expedite the launch.
Dan, I love having you on, man. And our time's short. I got a window closing here, but I'll have you on anytime. Dan Wallach, follow him out on Twitter. Where are you writing anywhere? Give everybody where to find you.
Conduct Detrimental. I have my own website. So we have a weekly podcast and a website with original content. And when the moment strikes me and the mood strikes me, I write an article, and I wrote one on the St. Louis case where I found these archival documents from Congress in the late 1990s that showed that the NFL intended for cities to have protection under the amended relocation guidelines. The NFL had always argued this is an internal policy. The cities don't have any rights to enforce it, but they were singing a different tune in Congress in the 1990s. And I exposed that, and hopefully my research and writing on that score contributed a little bit to the upside of the monetary settlement, although I'm never going to see a dime of that, Nestor. So,
well, I'll tell you what, I'll get you some free Ted Drews the next time I'm in St. Louis. All right, we'll get that together.
Okay.
Get some frozen custard. Dan Wallach, Conduct Detrimental. Follow him out on Twitter for all things sports and law and business. Always great to visit with you. Hope to see you at the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.